With your latest news, I'm Elizabeth Charles. The Esterly-Tibbetts Highway has now been fully reopened to traffic following this week's landfill fire, but motorists are still being urged to use extra caution near the site as emergency and health teams continue their work amid mounting pressure from the opposition.
Enough is enough.
Opposition MPs say they have, quote, serious concerns about the continued lack of decisive progress on addressing issues at the Georgetown landfill. Official opposition leader Joey Hugh says repeated fires and ongoing challenges at the site highlight a, quote, worsening problem that cannot continue to be managed reactively.
The people of this country deserve answers, and they deserve action. We cannot continue to accept a situation where fires at the landfill pose a direct threat to public safety, disrupts our businesses, and impacts our children's education. The government must explain why progress has stalled, and more importantly, what immediate steps will be taken to fix this problem once and for all.
Mr. Hugh says there is growing frustration in the community as landfill fires impact businesses, affect air quality, and lead to school closures. Radio K-Man reached out to the NCFC government for comment on the opposition's concerns, but had not received a response by the time of broadcast. Meanwhile, health officials are stepping up checks in neighborhoods hit by the fire. From this afternoon, teams from the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service, the Cayman Islands Regiment, and the Health Services Authority have been going door to door in the communities most affected by the smoke. Minister of Health, Environment, and Sustainability, the Honorable Catherine Ebanks-Wilkes, says the priority is the welfare of residents and that government is taking a, quote, people-first approach. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Hillary Wolf says smoke from the landfill can affect air quality and people's health, which is why multi-agency teams had been on the ground to connect residents with care and guide them on when to seek medical help. Teams are expected to remain in the field until the checks are complete, with the operation to be reviewed this evening. In other news, a 49-year-old is arrested after a Cayman BRAC break-in. Shortly after midnight on April 10th, the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service says officers were sent to a business on Creek Road. And once there, they found the business ransacked. A window had been broken and cash was stolen. A suspect was later arrested on suspicion of burglary and possession and consumption of ganja. In other Sister Islands police news, the RCIPS is urging folks to slow down and drive safe. On Wednesday, police responded to two separate car crashes, which, quote, resulted in significant damage to all vehicles involved. The police service says it has responded to the, quote, increase in speeding offenses in the Sister Islands with targeted road safety enforcement initiatives across both islands, aimed at encouraging safer and lawful use of the road. Cabinet has released a post-meeting summary outlining a series of approvals ranging from anti-money laundering changes to appointments at the National Roads Authority. Radio K-Man's Basilia Barnaby-Cuff has more.
Cabinet says it confirmed two earlier approvals by circulation, one for amended customs and border control visa and landing regulations, and another for the Proceeds of Crime Amendment Bill 2026 for submission to Parliament. Cabinet also approved drafting instructions to amend the anti-money laundering regulations to address deficiencies identified under the Proceeds of Crime Act. Among the decisions at the April 1st meeting, Cabinet approved appointments and reappointments to the National Roads Authority Board. Anthony Travers was approved as chairperson, with Jeffrey Ebanks, Arleth Gold, Peter Campbell, and Dominic Williams approved as directors. Cabinet also approved in principle the development of legislation for a statutory vetting framework across the government, including civil service and statutory authorities and government companies. Other decisions included approval of a capital funding transfer from the Ministry of Planning, Lands, Agriculture, Housing and Infrastructure to the Ministry of District Administration and Home Affairs, along with a separate reallocation of funds within the Planning Ministry. Both matters are to be reported to the Parliament under the Public Management and Finance Act. Cabinet also approved the Public Transportation Amendment and Validation Bill 2026 for submission to Parliament, reappointed Sheridan Brooks-Hurst as chairperson of the Adoption Board, and noted the Hamilton Declaration 2 on collaboration for the conservation of the Sargasso Sea. The Cabinet says post-meeting summaries are published after confirmation of the minutes and are available on gov.ky and the Cayman Islands government's digital channels. For Radio Cayman News, I am Basilia Barnaby Cuff.
The summary covers decisions made during Cabinet's April 1st meeting and was published today by the Cabinet Office. From politics to the environment, as you heard right here on Radio Cayman, the Department of Environment has secured funding for a new Darwin Plus project, and that shark research has officially started. Here's Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin.
The DOE shark team has collected the first blood sample and ultrasound footage from the project Safeguarding Vulnerable Life Stages in Sharks. DOE shark researcher Dr. Joanna Kola tells Radio Cayman the blood collected from the Caribbean reef sharks will examine their reproductive cycles.
We use the ultrasound to examine the health in males and determine pregnancies in females. The ultrasound images allow us to note litter sizes. That means we count the number of pups inside the uterus and determine the stage of pregnancies.
She says her DOE shark team will also start tagging mature male and pregnant females with special satellite tags that will record the movements of breeding individuals as well as pupping events. This is just the start of the new 3-year study designed to dig deep into the life cycles of Cayman sharks as well as reduce unwanted shark encounters for local fishermen. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
And speaking of cool ocean stuff, you can learn all about the Beyond the Reef research expedition as local researchers share their findings from the recent deep sea exploration of Cayman's waters and the wider Caribbean at the Bodentown Library tomorrow at 10 a.m.
We're really excited to welcome Dr. Grandin to the Cayman Islands.
This year's Autism and Neurodevelopment Symposium will be headlined by international autism advocate Dr. Temple Grandin. Autism Cayman's Allison Olaru tells Radio Cayman that Dr. Grandin's journey from being nonverbal at age 2 and diagnosed with severe autism to becoming a renowned scientist, author, and public speaker has shaped global conversations on autism and animal welfare. The symposium is themed Bridging Gaps, Collaboration Across Sectors for Neuro-Inclusive Futures. The free educational event is tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the John Gray High School Performance Hall. Finally, we have some congratulations to give. We have been celebrating 50 years here at Radio Cayman, and we'll be sharing with you more about the station for you to learn about what we've accomplished over the last 50 years. We also want to thank you, our listeners, for sticking with us on this weekend's news broadcast. Also, we want to give congratulations to Giovanna Wright, named the 2025 Employee of the Year in the Deputy Governor's Employee of the Year program ceremony yesterday evening. The Ministry of Education and Training also saluted finalists Kamari Fletcher Barrett, Darbra Bodden, and Desmond White from the Ministry and the Cayman Islands Department of Education Services for their dedication and commitment to excellence. That's it for your local news. I'm Elizabeth Charles. Have a great evening.